they ask you why you love him so much, just tell them he's forgiven you of much, and so you love him much. Amen. Amen. Take your seat. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 19, starting in the first verse? We've been talking this month about the heart of God for the lost. And I was given a topic that was going to be a bit of a tangent. It would have been good. I was going to talk about biblical literacy and a love for God's word, which is so important. But I feel like, once again, we need to talk about the heart of God for the lost. If you get to the end of this month and your heart isn't moved, your heart isn't broken, your heart doesn't ache as he does, as his does, then I think you've missed him. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was asking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when the people saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give now to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he's also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. Amen. I want to clarify something before I begin. Jesus was not just a good teacher. He was not a motivational speaker. He was not just a man. Jesus is God, and he will forever be. He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what the Father is like, if you want to know what God is like, look no further than Jesus. There is no other way that we can be saved. No other God, no other sacrifice, no other gospel, no other message. Jesus is the only way, and he is God. And so if Jesus said that his heart was for the lost, if Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save the lost," then we can know for certain that God's heart bleeds for the lost. It was his mission, his purpose. Jesus, God in flesh, incarnate divinity, came to seek to save the lost, to chase after the lost, to pursue the lost. Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, and so he was hated by his fellow Jews because he was now working for an empire that had taken them over. Not only was he working for them, but he was pinching more from his neighbors to line his pockets. He was greedy. He was a traitor, a liar, a thief. And the people would have seen that he'd turn his back on God's own family. He was lost. And when the people saw that Jesus had gone to have lunch at this kind of person's house, they said to themselves, he's gone to be the guest of a well-known, well-hated sinner. Jesus has gone to eat with that kind of person. That kind of person. I wonder what kind of person that would be today. Drug dealer? Homewrecker? Murderer, abuser. Would it offend you to see Jesus having lunch with that person? The worst person you can think of, the biggest sinner on your street, would it offend you to see Jesus having lunch with them? A few weeks ago, we were in our engine room prayer meeting before the service, and Pastor Ronnie was leading us in prayer, and we were asking God for salvation to come that morning, that someone or multiple people who were lost would come to Jesus, would receive that gift of salvation that he has for us all. And I love God's heart for the lost. when you pray as he directs you, he just draws you to what he desires and to what he wants. And I felt the Holy Spirit flash in my mind, someone walking around outside the church building who desperately needed Jesus that morning. And so I debated within myself, do I go, do I not go? Eventually, I was like, Hamish, listen to God, go. So I got up, I left the prayer meeting, walked outside the building, and I did a lap of the church. And as a youth pastor, I was looking for a teenager, you know. My heart is burdened for the lost young people of Canberra. And so I even asked some of the Connect team at the front, I said, have you seen any teenagers just meandering around? No, we haven't seen anyone. And so I almost went back in, and then God said, no, go a little further. So I walked down that back alleyway, and I past Arendelle College, and there was a older gentleman sitting on the curb with his dog, looking a bit disheveled, and he had a big cut on his foot. He cut open his foot and it was bleeding out, and so we picked him up, and we walked back to church, and Tegan and Sophie gave him first aid at the front there as people were coming into the service. He was just bleeding out, and then got him in my car, and we dropped his dog back off at home, and then I took him to the hospital. But along the way, I was able to hear his story, and I found out a few things. This man, he'd been in and out of rehab, struggling with addiction. I found out that he'd been arrested many times. Drunk driving was in the list there, and his license had been revoked. He said that his mother had placed a restraining order against him, claiming that he'd been physically abusive to her. And I was able to share the gospel with him and tell him that Jesus loves him and that he died for him and that salvation belongs to him. But what struck me is that this is the kind of person that the Spirit of Jesus drew me towards. The Spirit, the will of Jesus, draws us towards this person. Does that offend you? Do we expect the Son of God to socialize with the super good people, the beautiful ones, the close to perfect saints? Is there something that feels unfair, unjust, or just wrong about a good God sharing a meal with a sick sinner? I wonder, what would you do if an obvious homosexual walked into our service? What would you do if an obvious transgender person walked into our church? How would you react if a homeless man walked in the room, alcohol on his breath, struggling, mind scattered? How would you feel if someone who'd done jail time was sitting on your row? Would that offend you? Does their sin offend you because it's brazen and on display? How come your sin doesn't offend you? Is it because you've hidden it? See, whether the person is a lost drug addict on the street or whether they're a lost religious person in a pew, it does not matter. Jesus is seeking them out. Jesus is after you. If you're lost today, I don't care if you look lost or if you look found. If you're lost in your heart of hearts today, I want to tell you, Jesus is coming after you. He's got your address. He's got your number. He wants to dine with you. Come to Jesus today. Let's stand to our feet. I've asked the team to lead us in this beautiful old song that we all know. Let's worship him today with this, and then I'll continue with my message.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, then saved a wretch like me. His word, my hope.
While we're standing, I wonder if there's anyone today who would be humble enough to admit that they're lost and that they need to come to Jesus. Close your eyes, everyone. If you're lost and you need to come to Jesus, raise your hand right now. If there's anyone here today. I see that hand, brother. You can put it down. Thanks, man. He loves you. He died for you. And he has a life abundant for you. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, "Dear Jesus, I love you, Lord. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm lost and I need to be found. I call you my Lord. I believe that you died for me and that you were raised to life. And now my life is yours." Amen. Come on, let's rejoice with heaven for that one person. Praise God. You can take your seat. Don't worry, if you're lost and you didn't put your hand up there, I'm coming back for you at the end of the message. Jesus is seeking out the lost. And you know, he didn't go to the sinner's house to join in on the sin or approve of it. There's no darkness in him. He's the spotless one. That's why everything he does brings glory to himself. And if we were to glorify ourselves, it would be prideful because we are sinful. We don't deserve glory. Only Jesus can bring glory to himself because he deserves it. He is pure, he is holy, he is spotless. And so when he went to Zacchaeus' house, it wasn't to join in on the sin. It wasn't to put his mark of approval on his lifestyle. Jesus, when he comes to the sinner's house, he comes to wrestle the spirit dwelling within that house and replace it with the Spirit of God. There is a spiritual battle for your soul today. If you are lost, you do not have God's Spirit within you. You're a sinner. And there is a spiritual battle for your soul today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. Tomorrow is judgment day. So get right with Jesus. Get right with God today. There is a spiritual battle for your soul. And Jesus, he comes in to battle, to wrestle with the spirit of the world inside of you and to replace it with his Holy Spirit. When he comes to the sinner's house, he doesn't come to lounge about, have a cup of tea. He comes to do a renovation. In fact, even greater than that, he comes to knock down the house and rebuild it. See, Jesus doesn't just change your life. He gives you a new one. You are born again. You're a new creation. The old has been done away with. It's dead. Crucified on the cross along with him. And now you live bought at a price. Now you live as a daughter of Christ. Now you live as a son of the Most High. And so after one meeting with Jesus, Zacchaeus, he was ready to give up his whole life of cheating, stealing, of sin. He vowed back to pay everyone four times more than he'd taken. He was repentant. That word repent, it means to turn away from and turn to God. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the old and turn to Jesus. After one meal with a good God, the sick sinner repented and turned to his Savior. And Jesus said, this man has now received salvation. Salvation's come to this house today. Salvation's come to this house today. Luke 5, 31 and 32, Jesus said this. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. This is in the our Bible reading yesterday, wasn't it, Alan? The one-year Bible. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who, listen, think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Here's a question. What kind of sick people get better? The sick person who stayed home because they thought they were well, they thought they just tough through it? Or the sick person who went to the doctor because they knew they weren't well? See, there were many people in that crowd who thought they were righteous. But there was one short tax collector up in a sycamore tree who knew he was a sinner. There were many in the crowd who thought they had it all together. But there was one despised traitor in a tree who knew he was a wretch. He saved a wretch like me. Which one is better? Is it better to stand in a position of righteousness, thinking that you're all that? Or is it better to be in a compromised, lowly position, humbled before God, knowing you're a sinful mess? You have a choice. Which one will you be? We're all sinners. We all fall short of God's standard. And the wage of sin is death. These are high stakes. You have a choice. Will you stand in self-righteousness? No, I won't go down. No, I won't put my hand up. No, I won't surrender my life to Him. I'm good. Or will you run out of that tree towards your Savior? Will you get into a lowly position and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I'm lost and I need you. in Luke 18, verse 10 to 14, Jesus told this story. He said, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. He said, thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. And I'm certainly not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. I even tithe. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. But instead he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, God. I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before the Lord. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I wonder today, have we forgotten what sick sinners we were? Have we forgotten how lost we've been? His word says that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. No one is beyond this message this morning. No one is too good to receive this message this morning. Do we know how much we need to repent of our sin? Or are we caught in a lie that we can heal ourselves? That we can fix ourselves? That by going to church or by tithing or by serving, we're somehow doing something to climb up the ladder and earn our salvation? What are you talking about? Even our goodest, if that was a word, even our goodest works are like filthy rags to Him. You see, you don't know you need a doctor if you don't realize that you're sick. You don't know you need a Savior if you don't know that you're a sinner. And Zacchaeus, he was closer to Jesus way up in that tree than some of the people were standing right next to Jesus. And the Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Look in your heart today. If you're proud, if you think you're so righteous, don't be offended by my words right now. Look at your heart today, because God's speaking to you right now. God's speaking to someone right now. If you're proud, if you think you're righteous, if you think you've got it all together, if you think you're so clean, that you're so good, God resists you. If you're ready to be humble, if you know you're a sinner, if you know you don't have it together, if you know you're dirty, if you know you're a wretch, then God gives grace to you. He embraces you. God, He looks you in the eyes. He picks you out from a crowd. And He says, I'm coming to your house. I'm having lunch with you. Jesus has not come to seek and save the righteous, the religious. He came for the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Which one will you be? He won't save you if you're proud. He doesn't chase after the self-righteous. He seeks to embrace those who know they're lost and are desperate to be found in Him. He longs to save those who are repentant and are desperate for a Savior. He exalts those who are humble. He lifts the head of the lowly. He heals the sick. He transforms the sinner. He raises the dead. And he's come to seek and save the lost. Do you want to be found today? I know in an auditorium like this with the people that we have today, I know that there would be some of us who have thought that we are righteous. Might have been in church for many years. You might even be a leader, a connect group leader, a worship leader, a kids way leader, you name it. I know because of my own sinfulness and because of being a pastor and loving you guys and encouraging you, I know that we can be our own worst enemy. We can be our own greatest deceivers. And so I know that in a room like this today, there may be some people who seem like they're right with God, but in their hearts, they are lost. I know that there would be people in this service who have sold themselves a lie, that it's religious culture and tradition that makes them righteous. It's doing the Christian things that makes them righteous. And so because of that, they do these Christian things to feel secure in a salvation that they never truly received or even based their life upon. And so they are lost. Religion will not save you. This church will not save you. Jesus does. Like I said at the start, only Jesus saves you. Only his blood poured out for you can make you be called righteous in the eyes of God. Christ saves. And so today I ask you, would you be humble? Would you take this opportunity to come to Jesus and receive salvation? It doesn't matter if you look lost to other people or if you look righteous to other people. You may have been a member of this church for years. Don't let that stop you from coming to Jesus. You might be a leader in this church. Don't let that stop you from coming to Jesus. Don't let the thought of but I'm a connect group leader. Oh, but I'm a worship leader. What if other people see me? That stuff's not important because Jesus is coming back imminently. You don't have time to worry about what other people might think of you. Just come to Jesus. If you're lost today, come to Jesus. If you're new and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, doesn't matter what you call yourself, come to Jesus. You might be a leader in the church. You might be worried what people would think about you, that they judge you. It doesn't matter. Come to Jesus. Close your eyes. I'll give you that opportunity again, a second time. If you're lost and you want to come to Jesus, raise your hand right now. Thank you. I see that hand. I see your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'll give you an opportunity a third time. Doesn't matter if you're a member of the board. Doesn't matter if you're on the payroll. Doesn't matter if you've been part of church for 30 plus years. If you are lost today, you may not have tomorrow. If you are lost, come to Jesus right now. Put your hand up. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Yes, I see that hand. I'm going to ask you to be bold today. If you've put your hand up, I want you to come to the front right now. We're going to worship Jesus. If you put your hand up at any point in this message, come to the front right now. You might need to bring a friend with you. Some of you need to be embarrassed and let other people see your position of humility. Young boy at the back, bring your friend, come down. Young man over here, come down. Anyone else who put their hand up, come down. There were others. There were others. Come down right now. If you're lost and you need to come to Jesus, come right now. I'm asking you to be brave. It doesn't matter if you're a leader in the church. If you're lost and you need Jesus right now, come to Him. There's repentance, there's forgiveness.